Heading into our 14th year, this is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. The details for the show and all the shows, frankly, can be found at mulliganstew.ca. Therein, you'll find the podcast, you'll find Mulligan Stew Radio and Tasting Room Radio. Two very distinguished guests and good friends. The second half of the show is Davin DiCergamo, who is one of the singular voices for whiskey around the world and in Canada, and has released two books on Canadian whiskeys. Canadian Whiskey and the Definitive Guide to Canadian Distilleries. But to start the show, John Skinner from Painted Rock, a wonderful winery just south of Penticton on the Skaha Bench, Okanagan Falls. They're having an amazing run at Painted Rock, and in the 2020 Wine Align Canadian Best Wines, the Red Icon, the Cab Franc, the Syrah, and Merlot were all voted top 10. And the 2017 Red Icon was the top red wine of 2020. Also, the 2017 Red Icon was Decanter's Canadian Wine of the Year. World-class wines, my friends, from John Skinner. We're going to be tasting all four wines next on Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Moon Cursor. The Moon Cursor name pays tribute to the gold smuggling history of Osoyoos. The winery's focus has always been making premium wines from old world grape varieties like Tanat, Dolcetto, and Torrija Nacional. And for all of that hard work and dedication, Moon Cursor was recognized as the number one best performing small winery at the 2019 Wine Align National Wine Awards of Canada. Not only do they have a great wine club, but also think about giving a wine club membership as a great gift. You can find all of the details at mooncursor.com. I'm Terry David Mulligan, Tasting Room Radio. We have two guests. The second guest is Davin DiCergamo, who is a wonderful whiskey authority and author. And we're going to get caught up with all things whiskey. I tell him going in, I don't have enough information. I don't have enough background or history with whiskey or spirits. And I'm shortchanging the audience. Fill me in. And we've become very good friends. But I start with a longtime friend, and that is John Skinner, the proprietor, the founder, the leader at Painted Rock. Hello, John.
Hello, Terry. Very nice to talk with you.
How did you survive 2020 and the early part of 2021?
Well, safely. Most interestingly, we implemented protocol at, we were shut down for 3 months. And during that time, my daughter, Lauren, who's director of sales, came up with an idea. We canceled all the weddings that we normally would do. She said, Dad, I've got a new plan for a safe opening of the tasting room. So we implemented tastings by appointments, and it was all done exceptionally safely. But then she said, what I want to do is I want to utilize the safe space outside, because we've got all that beautiful lawn area that overlooks the water. She said, I want to do picnics at Painted Rock.
Yep.
So we ended up doing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of fantastically safe picnics throughout the summer. Well, picnics were made by the bench in Penticton.
Of course.
And so we're buying locally, and it worked out just fantastically well. Everybody wants to still go outside. They still want to socialize safely. So it ticked all the boxes. And if it wasn't for the fire, it would have been, we had a fire that nudged right up to the edge of us within about 800 meters. But thankfully, the wind was... it never brought smoke over our vines, so we won't have any issue. We dodged the biggest bullet ever.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, 2020 was a crazy year. 2021, we're opening earlier. We're trying to spread everything out now. So we're going to open the tasting room March 1st. You go online at paintedrock.ca and book your appointment. And then everything is just really safe and pleasant.
I saw a quote from you August 20 of 2020 when you were asked about the Christy Mountain fires. And you said, we'll have to see. At that point, you didn't know if you were going to lose your vineyards.
It was emotional, honestly. I put so much of my family, like, it's a family business, and I put so much into it. I'm 62. I can't do it twice. And I thought, this is a legacy family business. I built it to pass it on. And I couldn't imagine if it was wiped out. It took everything out of me. Well, at the end of it, I was interviewed the day one, and it was really scary, and I was beside myself. I didn't know if we'd come in the morning and the vineyards and winery would be gone. About 6-7 days later, I was interviewed again. And at the end of the interview, I said to young lady, I said, would you mind, before she interviewed me, I said, would you mind if I thanked the first responders at the end of this? Lo and behold, a week later, one of the pilots came and he brought all these hats and T-shirts from the air company that was doing all the bombing.
Nice.
And it was so nice of him. And I said, what vehicle did you come in? And he said, oh, that van over there. And I said, I want you to drive that van over to that building. And I loaded it up with wine and I sent him away. And a couple of days later, I got a call from him. Well, they actually auctioned all the wine off and contributed to the Penticton Food Bank.
Oh, man.
Like, isn't it just the night? Like, bad things happen and good things happen.
Good things happen.
You know, so it balanced it all out so nice. So we're very, you know, we're counting our blessings. Now the fuel is gone. And we're going to be okay.
John Skinner, Painted Rock, Skaha Bench. Speaking of winners, we are going to taste the 2018 Cab Franc, the 2017 Merlot, the 2018 Syrah, and the 2018 Red Icon over these two segments. And the 2017 Red Icon was Decanter's Canadian Wine of the Year, so much so because it was the only Canadian wine that was mentioned.
Well, you know, the nicest surprise, we actually didn't enter. They just discovered it. And I know these guys. I go to London a lot. But we didn't send wines to the decanter competition that year or last year.
Hmm.
And we end up winning. It was in the blend category. It was a decanter wine of the year. And that's, you know, blends are like it's a pretty wonderful category.
John,
and incredibly flattering.
What was the reaction? I mean, from a commercial standpoint.
Unbelievable. I was called... Days after that happened, I was called by the New York Times and interviewed by them. I've just sent my wines to Eric Asimov.
Mm.
He wanted to taste the full spectrum, and he's the wine reviewer. He's Isaac Asimov's son.
Sure.
And he wanted to taste the full, you know, all of our wines. I've sent them. He's going to be tasting them at the beginning of February, and I think, well, I'm hoping that the results are good, and I'm the eternal optimist. But we now have our wines in New York. We have our wines now in Florida, and this is all because of Decanter. It's all we're really well received in London now, and that's what I always said. You know, you've got to go and win the business. So you can't sit and wait for people to come to you.
That's right.
You have to go, and if you don't win, you learn.
Yep.
And that's always been my attitude. So just go and listen, go and listen, go and listen. Well, now I'm doing a Zoom call with Richard Hemming in Singapore. He runs 67 Palm Oil in Singapore, and hopefully doing a Zoom call with him in the very near future. These kind of things, it's working, and it's very, very satisfying. And, you know, where we go, I'm president of the Okanagan Wine Initiative. We're 7 export-oriented wineries. And if I get an agency in a certain place, I introduce those guys. So it's not about getting Painted Rock on the world stage. It's getting the Okanagan on the world stage.
Remind the audience who your partners are there.
Very, very happily. It's in the Van Von Mendel group of wineries, the Mission Hill group. We've got Checkmate and Martin's Lane, those two.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tony Holler with Poplar Grove and Chris Coletta with Haywire.
Yep.
And then 50th Parallel and Summerhill. Just an awesome group of wineries.
Where
and we
go?
Really tick the box as far as price points and offerings. We're a team.
And finally, Wine Alliance, the National Wine Awards, kind of got sidetracked because of the pandemic, of course. But it still got carried off. All four of the wines that we're going to talk about today were top 10. I mean, it was a remarkable achievement.
Thank you. I got into the industry to try to make a difference. And it's a new wine region. So I spent 4 years looking for what I hoped was the best terroir, the best property, because your only limitation is the terroir. I spent 4 years looking for what I hope is the best terroir. I think we found it. So now when we win Decanter Wine of the Year in the blend category, that's against First Growth in Bordeaux. That's against all the top blends in the world. I didn't raise the prices right, you know, haven't done anything. To me, I've always said you have to earn your price point. Don't assume it.
Yep.
So I know the lengths to which we go to make the wines, but my wine, Red Icon, is $59. And the other wines in that competition, that the other winners are all, I mean, they're all in the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of
dollars. Of course
they are. So,
All right.
So that was, you know, we're getting there.
He is John Skinner, proprietor and founder leader at Painted Rock. Skaha Bench, Okanagan Falls, just south of Penticton, looking down in the lake. This is your 2017 Merlot. That Merlot for you has always been one of the spines of your portfolio. And the 2017 was a spectacular year?
Yes. Yeah. The last few years have been cooler. So what you get in a cooler year is you get bright acidity, you get a little lower alcohol. We also got lighter berry weight, so that the concentrations are fabulous. And the instead of it being this massive, big tannic thing, it's incredibly elegant. And that's the journey. It is not the pursuit of being the biggest, nastiest knockout red. That's not what we're about. But they are big wines with elegance. And that was the comment that they made when they were discussing Painted Rock and Decanter. They said, we were really, really impressed with this Canadian wine, Painted Rock Red Icon, and the elegance.
Yep.
And I thought, oh God, that's the one word that I've been obsessed with
elegance
for so long. And that's what they were saying. Yay!
If you're a Merlot fan, friends, raspberry and dark fruit, dark chocolate, plums and spice, beautiful tannins, acidity, so you know you can put it in the cellar. Kind of a forest floor. It's just funky. It's so good. It's so good.
That's lovely.
Is there some still left?
There is. Yeah. You know, what we do is we don't shotgun. Our whole business plan is, instead of being everywhere, we've got a large wine club, and our focus is, that's why we're able to keep our prices down, because we don't have any agents. It's just me and my team. That's it.
Okay.
We don't. So that 20%, I pass that savings on to our wine club, and that's, you know, we sell out every year, but it just makes us make sense. And if it makes sense for us, that's why I was saying when the decanter thing came in, we didn't raise our prices, because I'm raising the prices. Well, most of this just goes to our club.
Okay.
So why? Like, they're loyal and good, and we're, you know, it's enabling us to make sense. And if you have a good wine club during COVID times, we're doing okay, and we're able to help other, you know, the whole idea of us doing those picnics and helping the bench market. We also work with a company for our charcuterie plate, a really nice deli in Penticton, and we buy a lot of, well, we buy all of our stuff from them every day, and it's all keeping it local and you know, making the neighborhood make sense.
This is a two-part interview with John Skinner from Painted Rock. The 2018 Cab Franc. Yeah, I love my Cab Franc. I just love it. A black cherry and tobacco notes on the nose, in the mouth. Just beautiful, smooth tannins. Touch of anise. I may have imagined that, but it's there. Cedar, plum. It's just joy in a glass.
And I didn't even know we were ever going to do one. It's just a discovery, but it's happening. When people are talking about the Okanagan, the next two words coming out of their mouth are, oh, Okanagan, and that Cabernet Franc. Like, people are discovering it. I never would have thought it.
Price point on your website is $44.99. It's a big bang, but it's a sensational Cab Franc. When it's right, it's right. When we come back, we're going to talk about the 2018 Syrah. Actually, we're going to talk about two Syrahs. We're going to talk about the 2018 and a 2007 that I have over just to my right, and a 2018 Red Icon, and a 2007 Red Icon that's off to my right in the cellar. So when we come back, we'll have that discovery with John Skinner of Painted Rock. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Moon Cursor. The Moon Cursor name pays tribute to the gold smuggling history of Osoyoos. The winery's focus has always been making premium wines from old world grape varieties like Tanat, Dolcetto, and Torrija Nacional. And for all of that hard work and dedication, Moon Cursor was recognized as the number one best performing small winery at the 2019 Wine Align National Wine Awards of Canada. Not only do they have a great wine club, but also think about giving a wine club membership as a great gift. You can find all of the details at mooncursor.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. which is the home of Crown and Thieves. I'm pleased to announce that Crown and Thieves has opened at the Hatch. The message on Facebook said, "Behold our crowning achievement, drunken tinkers and kinching morts. Join us for bootlegging good times." And just below it, it says, "Word on the street is we've got a few random back vintage wines in small quantities arriving this week. Keep an eye on this space for more info at the Hatch Wines." Congratulations to all at Crown and Thieves and the Hatch. Hatchwines.com. I'm Terry David Mulligan, Tasting Room Radio. Our guest, John Skinner, the founder of Painted Rock, Okanagan Falls, Skaha Bench area. I've asked John to walk me through four of his wines. We did the Cab Franc, we did the Merlot, 2018, 2017. Now, John, I have a 2007 Syrah that you probably handed to me in that year.
Wow.
And I just took a look at it. Am I in danger of hanging on to it for too long?
I think you've held on to it perfectly. Like, it will be, we opened it for our wine club. We put on a wine club dinner last year. When was it? No, maybe it was a year and a half. It was before COVID.
Okay.
And it was the special treat that night was opening some seven, because I don't have a lot. When you're a startup winery, it's really hard to keep a big library of wines. When people want it, you give it to them. You know what I mean? So I didn't have a lot, but I opened it for them, and it was just drinking beautifully. And, you know, we're still in the learning stage. We don't know, you know, when I opened it for Jancis Robinson in London in not last year, the year before, we had a dinner and tasting together, and I opened the sevens, and she said, "All of these wines have another 10 years.
No.
And that's something.
Come
that
on.
Is something that's like, hallelujah. It just blew me away.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
The 2018, by the way, your 2018 Syrah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that nose I can't miss. Cherry, a plum, some herbal notes to it. In the mouth, on the palate, cracked black pepper, wonderful tannins kind of ripe figs. It's a beautiful, beautiful wine. This 2007 Red Icon that I have.
Yeah.
Do you want it back? Could you use it for tasting, or do you still have some?
Totally. I've got so little of the seven in my. You know what happened? Here's a funny story for you. In our first vintage, we won two Lieutenant Governor Awards.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd been really well supported. I was in the investment banking business, and I know a lot of the restaurateurs, and they very generously supported me at the very beginning. Biggest supporter at the very beginning was Umberto Mengi, and he was fantastic. So I went down to El Jardino, I tasted with him, and he said, "I'm going to take..." He took all the wines, and that was wonderfully generous. And the support was amazing. Well, then we win these awards, and I get a call from Umberto, and he said, "Hey, you know that these awards you got?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "How much of that Red Icon do you have left?" And I said, "I don't have any. It's all sold out." He said, "Oh, come on. How much you got in your library?" And I said, "Well, I keep 10 cases of everything." And he said, "Okay." I said, "What do you mean, okay?" He said, "I'll take them." I said, "Oh, come on." I sold him five.
Okay.
You know what? Loyalty's loyalty.
John, I can remember being at Umberto's with you at that tasting. Was that the...
There you go.
That's wonderful. I'm Terry David Mulligan, Tasting Room Radio. Our guest, John Skinner, the founder of Painted Rock, Okanagan Falls, Skaha Bench area. So that's my offer. The 2007 is there. The Red Icon, if you can use it, if you'd like it for a special occasion. Because
you know what? I'll make it worth your while. I'll make it worth your while. There are bigger bottles.
The 2018 Red Icon is 58. Here's the deal. It's 58 Merlot, 14 Cab Franc, 11% Cab, 11% Malbec, and 8% Petit Verdot. I love the 8% Petit Verdot. I love that a lot. And here's the thing, just to talk about this for just a moment. Not anybody, but most winemakers can do a red blend when they have a great year. The art mm-hmm. of the blending is when you don't have a great year, when the year's kind of shortchanges you, how you blend probably defines how you are as a winemaker.
It totally does. Alain Sutre is is fantastically talented. But he also, he's just, the depth of knowledge is remarkable. Like, so our winemaker is Gabe Reese, and Gabe works with Alain, and Alain has been teaching Gabe for 10 years now, and Gabe really gets it. And the partnership there, it's the three of us in the room when we're doing the blends. But Alain has been, now it's been a 10-year tutorial, well, 10. It's been, I've been working with him since 07. So 13 years, or 14, I guess. He, every time we're doing a tasting or we're doing anything that we're doing with him, it's educational. And he teaches us, but then he's asking questions. So
sure.
So we'll go through and we'll taste something, and he'll say, okay, how is that? What are the, he wants us to pick out the flaws. And I'll say, well, okay, there's a little harshness about two-thirds the way through the finish. And he'll say, okay, and what do you do to remedy it? And I say, okay, well, you can either fine it, or there are different things that you can do. And he's always asking the questions, and then he'll give the answer. I'm rarely right, but anyway, it's Gabe's getting a lot better than I am.
Okay,
so it's a fun journey.
Our guest, John Skinner, the founder of Painted Rock. I know the nose changes from year to year. As a matter of fact, I went back and looked at John Schreiner's Icon book, and your blend at one point was a Malbec driven, and then the Merlot stepped forward. There was a couple of years, the 2007, he said, reaching for the book.
Yep.
The 2007, Cab Franc 33%.
It was around 20% of everything. It was like 18 and 20% of everything in the first vintage.
And the first, was 2007 the first?
It was, yeah.
Okay,
yep.
So Cab Franc 33, Petit Verdot 20, Cab Sav 16, Merlot 16, Malbec 15.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And but you know what? That was when I first had hired Alain.
Sure.
And he tasted through everything. And before I hired him, he said, okay, I want to try something. I've got an idea. And I basically wanted to see what he's capable of doing. And he said, okay, I'm going to put together a blend and you tell me what you think. And he said, conceptually, I've tasted everything, and I would do 20% of each of the five varietals. And I said, why? And then he explained to me, and he said, well, Petit Verdot is the attack and it's the finish. He told me the role that each one plays.
Sure.
And he said, they're all so similar in terms of their tannin. They're all really good, and they're all, so I would make, there's no dominant player in there at this stage, the first vintage.
John Skinner, the founder of Painted Rock. John, I'm dying to ask you this. The 2017, obviously, the Red Icon, was Decanter's Canadian Wine of the Year, and really was a standout. Are you beholden to hit that mark again and repeat what that was in 2017, or do you carry on in just 2018 and standing on its own?
Oh, no. I'm so intent on it. Like, as I said, I didn't even send the wines to Decanter, and they my wines are in London now, so somebody had brought it to them. And the one master of wine who brought it to the tasting said she'd tasted it someplace and was blown away. She said it was one of the top three wines she'd experienced all year.
But I mean, are you beholden because of the wine fan? Do you want to hit that same mark again in terms of nose and palate, or
I want to get better. Every year I want to get better.
There
and
you
I
go.
Think 18 might be better. I think 18 is better than 17. I think every year we're getting better, because every year we learn more. Then the vines are getting older.
Cassis, dark fruit, beautifully round and complete, and like spice and nut, all sorts of things in there.
Yeah, and it's the pursuit of elegance. So I just really think that, for sure, Decanter are going to get every one of my wines this year. Because you know, what goes around comes around. I'm enormously appreciative. The fact that that profile that we were afforded from that is just a game changer. I'm getting calls from SOMs all over the world. People are, because I've when you go to these events, I've been going to London now for 10 years, and I've got to know a lot of people. I go to Provine in Germany for the last 8 or 10 years. You meet all these people. Well, they come from all over the world. They go back to the places, but then when they read about you and Decanter, then it's, you know, it makes, when I go on my international travels, when I go into a place, now it's a warm call, not a cold call. Now they say, oh, yeah, I read about you. You know, that's invaluable.
There you go. All right. 2021. I know his tasting room on the website says you're going to open in March.
March 1st.
And that's, of course, if all the pins fall into place. Who knows what the year will bring. But it can't be a repeat of last year. It just feels like there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, it's, you know, everything is feeling better now after yesterday.
It's true.
I'm so happy.
I slept well.
What went on in the States, just I've got a big smile on my face right now. And I think, you know, if we're all responsible and we all stay safe until we're immunized, the world is going to, you know, we're going to know our good fortune.
Congratulations on your success and for surviving your mishap in Whistler and everything, just everything.
It's all good. I really appreciate your support. This is it's a fun journey. And I love being on it with you.
Okay. I'll take care of you 2007. Okay.
Oh, take care of it. Thank you. Okay.
The label's a little tattered, but I think that's sort of like a warrior mentality there for your bottle.
Oh, sure. I gotcha. Hey, that's fantastic. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, John Skinner. John Skinner,
okay.
Painted Rock on Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch, which is the home of Crown and Thieves. I'm pleased to announce that Crown and Thieves has opened at The Hatch. The message on Facebook said, "Behold our crowning achievement, drunken tinkers and kinching morts. Join us for bootlegging good times." And just below it, it says, "Word on the street is we've got a few random back vintage wines in small quantities arriving this week. Keep an eye on this space for more info at The Hatch Wines." Congratulations to all at Crown and Thieves and The Hatch. Hatchwines.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery. Naramata grown and raised. Unique, small lot, and terroir-driven are terms best used to describe their wines. Just a word from our friends at Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. Their tasting room is closed for the season. Seated sensory tastings will begin again in March 2021. Hillsidewinery.ca. His name is Davin DeCargamo. It took me 3 years to learn how to say his name correctly. And I hold in my hand the Definitive Guide to Canadian Distillers, the portable experience to over 200 distilleries and the spirits they make, Davin DeCargamo and Blair Phillips. First things first, how are you surviving this year and last year?
Well, I'm doing a lot of work, but getting paid a lot less. It's you know, this book came out just the day that they did the big lockdown in March. And it's been an experience trying to tell people that I've got a new book when I can't go out and do any shows. I think I had 32 events booked and every one of them was canceled.
But conversely, some people now have time to read.
They sure do. And this is a travel book, so they can read and do armchair travel at the same time.
But are you okay? Are you safe and well?
Oh, yeah, we're fine.
The front cover says over 200 distilleries and spirits they make. What's that number now, do you figure?
It's got to be 275, 300.
Are we in a golden period?
I think were it not for the pandemic, it would be platinum, because it's just a really wonderful time to for spirits in Canada. It really is. We've just got some people doing amazing things right from coast to coast, and it's there's never been a better time to taste spirits or to drink spirits in Canada. There's some phenomenal things coming up.
We're not going to guzzle. We're going to take our time and think about it. I keep seeing these short little flip book stories on the best whiskey you've never had, unsigned whiskey territories, the new spirits nation. I keep waiting for Canada to get discovered, but then I realize that we are under the radar, and maybe it's for a reason, because there's some really established countries around the world. But more importantly, we're finding our way. We're trying to figure out, and correct me if I'm wrong, we're trying to figure out who we want to be and what we want to be in the whiskey world, in the distillery world.
Well, yes. And the thing is that with this new micro distillery movement, each distillery has its own personality that reflects the personality of the person who started it. And so it's really exciting in that way, because you really don't know what to expect other than to know it's more than likely going to be pretty good when you go to a new distillery.
Have you been doing some online tasting?
I've been doing loads of it, yeah. Lots of Zoom tastings with whiskey clubs mostly, but done some, a little bit of stuff with Global TV and doing various events, whatever. Now, and I've joined this whiskey book club, and they've been talking about my book and things like that. So it's just been, it's been a lot. I find it a lot of work doing this online, Terry. I think it's more difficult to engage people and to be engaging online than it is in person.
It also means you have to shave every day.
Oh, brother. You noticed. Thank you. This is what 30 minutes of growth looks like.
Devin DeCargamo is my guest, the definitive guide to Canadian distilleries. It is an amazing read, and I use it as reference. It's never too far away from me. It's not going to leave the room. I know that for a fact. It was never going upstairs because I need it at the worst of it. I get these fear sweeps coming over me that I've asked a question I don't know the answer to other distilleries. What are you sipping on, my friend?
Oh, I'm drinking I shouldn't be drinking on television, should I?
It ain't TV.
Hot Society, this is Commodore.
Ah.
They're single malt from Odd Society. They're in Vancouver. It's, you know that. Yep. It's a really lovely single malt whiskey, a new one coming out. And one of their standard ones. And they have a new one that they've just released called Parallel 49. I think it's completely sold out now. So I'm doing an online tasting of Parallel 49 in a couple hours.
Now, normally, here we are January, normally you'd be getting ready for the Whiskey Awards in Victoria.
Yeah.
Getting all of the, a lot of logistics involved to get everybody in Victoria at the same time. And so what are you doing with the ceremony? How are the awards going to handle?
Well, we're doing it online this year.
Yeah.
And it's not going to happen until, it should be happening day after tomorrow in Victoria, but it's going to be in online towards the end of February. And it's really a matter of logistics. And I'm telling you, again, it's been a tremendous amount of work just getting samples for the judges to taste and getting them out and, things like that. But now we've got our graphics are way behind, and just working with people who are all in Ontario, all sitting in isolation. It's been a challenge. But we've got some fantastic whiskeys this year. And I don't know who the winner is yet, but I know a few that are going to just blow people's minds.
There's always a few, isn't there?
Oh, yes, there
like
are.
For example, last year, what were the big surprises last year?
I think that people really loved a whiskey from J.P. Weiser. It was a 23-year-old blend. People really loved that. I think that a lot of people were really delighted with 40 Creek Confederation Oak. That whiskey has been consistent for, I don't know, has it been out for 10 years now? Every batch is a little bit different, but they are just consistently stellar. So I think that was another one that people really, really were pleased with, and glad to see it do so well in the awards.
He is Devin DeCargamo, the definitive guide to Canadian distilleries. It's out there now. There's also the new, revised and updated Canadian whiskey. The new portable expert second edition is out there as well. It's a what do they call it? A gateway book. So the Whiskey Awards are going to happen. This is good.
Yeah.
Online, you can make that kind of, you can put lipstick on that. That's going to look pretty good. How about the micro distillery scene? It's little pockets of brilliance happening, particularly in BC, but coast to coast across the country, which is why the book made such sense. Let's start in BC and work elsewhere, work east. How are we doing?
Well, little pockets of brilliance. That really captures it, Terry. There are many pockets of brilliance. Now, British Columbia really kind of surged to the fore a few years ago when the province gave them, the distillers, a tax advantage if they used all BC products to make spirits. Honestly, this has been a phenomenal shot in the arm for these guys. But here's what's happened is that they've started to produce these spirits, not just whiskeys, that are truly wonderful, truly world-class. If you can find better gins than Shanks in Souk, British Columbia, man, then you're really doing some digging because they make fabulous stuff. Krupnik. Krupnik from Wayward Distillery up there. Hey, they're near your place. Yeah. Honestly, this is a cinnamon liqueur made with honey and flavored with honey as well. That I think it's the only real cinnamon liqueur that I like. And in fact, I love it. It's really sensational. And of course, one of the leading whiskey distilleries now in Canada is Shelter Point.
Yeah.
Shelter Point up in Oyster River, near Campbell River. So there's some great things happening there. And of course, we've got, you know, great distilleries in Vancouver as well. And in the Okanagan, we've got Douglas in Oliver and Okanagan Spirits up in Kelowna and beyond. They have two locations now. So it's really fantastic. But, and you know, honestly, I suppose I could list probably 40 great distilleries, because Yukon Spirits up in the Yukon, they have sensational single malt whiskeys up there. Yukon Spirits in Whitehorse, but Eau Claire. Go to Eau Claire in Turtle Valley.
The map inside of the cover of the Definitive Guide to Canadian Distilleries, it centers in Toronto, but then it takes a sort of an upper right, as you well know, and it goes into the Ottawa area on its way to Quebec City. Kind of, there looks to be 25 to 30 distilleries in that stretch. Why that area?
I think that that's where the population is concentrated. We have big cities. We have Highway 401, which starts in Windsor and ends under a different name in Montreal.
Yep.
And all along there, we've got cities and we've got, you know, development. And then we've got the city of Ottawa as well. And we've got some really, like North of Seven Distillery in Ottawa. They make wonderful whiskey, but we've got something that's really outstanding here. We've got this dairy distillery in Almont, which is right just outside of Ottawa. They take milk permeate and they turn it into vodka. It is wonderful, Terry. You can taste a little bit of the creaminess in it. And milk permeate, when they're making cheese, they squeeze the water out of the milk. And this water has a lot of lactose, sugar in it, which they then ferment and make into this really, really lush vodka.
He's Devin DeKergamo. We're going to take a break here because I knew this would be a two-parter because he's a storyteller. When we come back, I'm going to ask you about Hiram Walker & Sons, an upstart young whiskey distiller, just getting started, just a little baby steps. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery. Naramata grown and raised. Unique, small lot, and terroir-driven are terms best used to describe their wines. Just a word from our friends at Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. Their tasting room is closed for the season. Seated sensory tastings will begin again in March 2021. Hillsidewinery.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Enrico Winery, the picturesque 50-acre estate winery in the beautiful Cowichan Valley, with a microclimate that allows them to grow seven different varietals, ranging from fruity whites to full-bodied reds. Enrico Winery, just 45 minutes north of Victoria in the Cowichan Valley. And to really get connected, sign up for their newsletter. Just head for their website, EnricoWinery.com. This is part two of our conversation with Devin DeKergamo, The Definitive Guide to Canadian Distilleries. It's about the book, but it's also about just whiskey and distilleries all across this country of ours. And it's a great read. Hiram Walker, are they waving our flag around the world? Or is it Seagram's?
I think that still it is, you know, that the big Canadian whiskey brands are Crown Royal, which sells three times as much as number two, which is Black Velvet.
Right.
Number three is Canadian Club around the world. Hiram Walker is doing brilliantly well in Canada. They're chipping away at the American and foreign market. But something's going to happen this year that I think is going to really stand people on their ear. There's a new whiskey coming from Hiram Walker called Lot Number 40 Dark Oak. And I have said many times, and I'll say it again, this whiskey is going to go viral. You have not tasted whiskey this sensational. And there are some wonderful whiskeys out there.
What makes it so?
Well, I think they started with the basic Lot 40 formula, but they finished it in this new oak that really just imbues it with these rich flavors. It's got a lot. They've used whatever that yeast is that gives the rye its real sparkling spiciness, and it's just the whiskey has everything, but it's big in your mouth and it's full and it's lush and it just it feels good, and it is just a flavor from start to finish. It's sensational, and this is important when you're selling the first bottle. It looks fabulous. It's exciting just to look at the color.
You know what? Whiskey more than almost anything else that I know. When you get the bottle right, that's half the battle right there.
Well, they've got the whiskey. I'd say the bottle will get them to buy their first bottle, but the flavor is going to get them to buy the next couple of cases. Because honestly, I'm very excited about this whiskey.
Devin DeCargamo is my guest, the definitive guide to Canadian distilleries. Devin, tell me about the collective.
Oh, boy. Shelter Point, the collective.
Yeah.
My head kind of did it, spun in circles when I tasted that. What they did is they asked or told five of their staff, we're going to make a blend. We're going to bring some different whiskeys together. And they gave five of their staff a few samples to taste. And then they wanted the staff to pick their favorite, you know, and then they so to make this blend, I'm not sure if they told them or not, but each staff member got a different set of samples. Mm-hmm. And so they blended together these five barrels of whiskey, and it's just gorgeous. The whiskeys must have all been kind of at the same plane or something like this, because it's very complex. But it's synthesized together, so it tastes like itself. But picking it apart is difficult, even though there are not all the whiskeys were made from even the same grain. So it's a really exciting whiskey. And then they come and they bring out this new one that's called Ripple Rock. Shelter Point Ripple Rock. Terry, you must know about Ripple Rock.
I know about Ripple Rock. I've fished in and around there
my uncle was a commercial fisherman, and he told me the story of going up there and how dangerous it was and how awful it was.
Yep.
So they blew this thing out of the water, like, you know, 300,000.
They drilled down into an island. They went underneath the channel. They went straight up into the rock. They filled it with, it was the largest non-nuclear blast to the time. And it made Life magazine.
I thought it took a lot of cheek to try to make a whiskey that would have that.
It did, in fact, Ripple Rock. Devin DeCargamo is my guest, the definitive guide to Canadian distilleries. What about Odd Society's five-year barrel program?
This is just new. They've just announced that they're going to be doing this.
East End of Vancouver.
They're going to sell, the shares in this new whiskey.
Yeah.
So each year, the people who subscribe for 5 years, each year for 5 years, they're going to get a bottle of this whiskey. But it's the same whiskey from the same barrels, just 1 year older. But you're getting it from the same barrel. So this is where people can buy these whiskeys. And it's not expensive to get five bottles. I can't remember, $250 maybe.
Yeah.
And they'll send you the one every year. And you can just watch the progress of the whiskey. But Odd Society is a wonderfully innovative distillery. Just it's really wonderful. They've been doing this collaboration with these brewers. I wish we could talk about that, but they're all sold out now.
How do people get next to your Zoom tastings? Where can we send them? Where they go?
Well, usually these are organized by clubs or by distilleries, and they'll send an invitation out to their own network.
Okay. All right.
So you know, the way I've been doing it is, you know, my publisher will provide books at a very good price to the organizer.
Yeah.
And we'll try to get whiskey from the various distilleries. And then people, you know, pay the cost of that. And then we have an event, usually 35, 40 people. The next one I'm doing is with a group down towards Cornwall, doing a tasting with mostly whiskeys from Western Canada. They specifically requested it. Well, people are hearing about places like, you know, like Yukon Brewers and Odd Society and Shelter Point, and, you know, everyone's talking about these wonderful whiskeys. And the Last Mountain in Saskatchewan, yeah, they make fabulous whiskey. And Eau Claire, this new Rupert's whiskey from Eau Claire.
Yep.
Man, I just, that stuff is, honestly, it's wonderful.
Have you been able to put your lips on their small batch 04?
Yes, I do.
And?
I have four. I like it. You know what I like in that one? I love those flavors that are kind of like charred firewood, like roasted applewood, toasted apple. You know the way applewood gets that smell before it bursts into flames?
Yeah.
That's what it smells and tastes like. It's really sweet and lush, and I really like it. It's and you get those same flavors in Rupert's. So I think they must use some of that same single malt in Rupert's.
This is part two of our conversation with Davin DeCargamo, the definitive guide to Canadian distilleries. It's about the book, but it's also about just whiskey and distilleries all across this country of ours. All right, Davin, let's wrap this up with the three whiskeys that, no matter what the price or whatever, where they're from, that we want to try this year or in our lifetime.
In your lifetime?
Well, no, let's do it in this year. If we can find it, this is a two-parter. In this year.
I think that if
lifetime's a whole nother thing. Let's do one at a time. 2021, what do we want to taste?
Yeah, okay. When lot number 40, dark oak, comes out, I think there's a little bit in BC now.
Okay.
Buy a bottle. It's not expensive either, okay? I love that whiskey. I think this is the best whiskeys of the year. I couldn't limit myself to three, but I'd be really inclined to send people to the Collective.
Okay.
From Shelter Point. So we've got Lot 40 Dark Oak and the Collective. You're never going to find the rye from North of Severn Distillery, but if you do, it's really quite sensational.
Okay.
But you can get something from Last Mountain. Yeah, you can get something from Last Mountain. The directors, is there a director's reserve from Last Mountain? Honestly, it's hard to go wrong with a name that you've heard.
Okay. This is part two of our conversation with Davin DeCargamo, the definitive guide to Canadian distilleries. It's about the book, but it's also about just whiskey and distilleries all across this country of ours. And here you go. I'm going to push you into a corner. Three whiskeys or three spirits that we should all taste before the lights go out.
Before the lights go out, you have to taste Black Bowmore. You get the original from 1964. That is amazing. It's it's been my favorite whiskey for a couple of decades. Now, another whiskey you absolutely have to taste. Well, I would say if you can get an old Crown Royal with a black cap or a purple cap, with a black cap or a purple cap, the old 35-year-old Crown Royals, they kind of blow your head off. Make sure you get one that's full right up to the top, though, because once they start to evaporate, because some of them, the whiskey's down to the shoulder in those old bottles, yeah, they don't taste so great.
Okay.
But get a full one, and that's worth it, or get a pour from a full one. I'm going to kick myself when I get off here and think, oh, I forgot something else. There's an old whiskey from the 60s. It has the Fathers of Confederation on the label. It's called Gooderham's 15-year-old or Gooderham's Centennial. This is a wonderful whiskey. This is the whiskey, I think Clay Risen put it in his book of the 100 whiskeys you have to taste, the book that sells for $1,000 a copy and they're selling like hotcakes. That bastard. He sells one book. It's like me selling, I have to sell like 35 books to, you know. Yeah, that's a whiskey that's really quite outstanding.
All right. What's the website we send people to for you?
CanadianDistilleries.com. CanadianDistilleries.com or CanadianWhiskey.org. CanadianWhiskey.org.
The Definitive Guide to Canadian Distilleries. Devin DeKergamo with Blair Phillips. It's a great read. It's a great read. Do 5 pages at night. Just keep going because you have to read between the lines with Devin's writing and with Blair's writing. Sometimes what they don't say indicates what the whiskey is. And sometimes when they do say, you got to look in between the verbs and the pronouns. It's really good. It's well done. It's a suspenseful thriller. Take care of yourself, please. And now when can we get ready to see online? Can we watch the Whiskey Awards?
We're saying February 25th. I haven't made the official announcement yet because I don't know. The medal supplier is saying they're going to cast the medals soon.
Okay.
But they have to get their staff in there to do this. They'll need a whole bunch.
But we can watch this. We can watch these awards happen.
Absolutely. They'll be live. I'm doing it on Zoom, so I assume it's on Facebook or something like that.
Okay.
Great seeing you again, Terry. Great talking to you. Thanks very much. Take care.
Okay, buddy. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Enrico Winery, the picturesque 50-acre estate winery in the beautiful Cowichan Valley with a microclimate that allows them to grow 7 different varietals, ranging from fruity whites to full-bodied reds. Enrico Winery, just 45 minutes north of Victoria in the Cowichan Valley. And to really get connected, sign up for their newsletter. Just head for their website, EnricoWinery.com.